Hey y'all, welcome to The Neighborhood, where we get all up in your business, talking about self, family, friends, and finances. This is not a conversation about romantic relationships because we are minding our own business. That's right, but trust and believe, once we get that straight, the rest will follow. You know me, I'm your nosy neighbor, Inertia Justice. So go get your coffee, your sweet tea, or whatever it is you're sipping on these days, child. And let's chat. Today, we are talking about a subject that might not sound very exciting at first. But trust me, it's a game changer. Today, we're talking about budgeting. Yep, I can hear the collective groans and moans now. But stick around, because I promise you, you'll thank me later. Before we get started, I am not a financial advisor. These are suggestions for creating a budget that I used myself. However, after you complete these steps, you will be in a great place to contact an actual financial advisor and level up even more. Creating a budget is like having a roadmap for your finances. It gives you control, helps you achieve your goals, and most importantly, reduce financial stress. So let's dive in. The first step on this journey, getting all of your income together. In other words, we need to gather some financial statements, if you will. And these are just documents. Don't worry, neighbor. These are just documents that list in detail all the income that you've received from, be it a job, government assistance, retirement, research, stipends, royalties. However your income comes in, it's important to know how it goes out. So in the description for this episode, there's a link where you can download a financial worksheet. All right. I know what you're thinking, neighbor. It's like, oh, I don't have enough money to be doing any budgeting. But believe it or not, everyone can budget and everyone should budget. So let's get back to it. The first step, knowing your income and your expenses. Let's take a deep breath, neighbor. I'm here with you. And I told you in the beginning, shout out to the episode on housekeeping. I told you in the beginning that we were going to get your whole self straight. And these days it costs money to breathe. So of course we got to work on these finances. Now that that's been said, it's time to gather those financial statements. Our financial statements will be anything that tells us income, anything that tells us expense. One of the most important financial documents or financial statements is our bank statement. Don't worry, neighbor. If you don't have a bank statement, if you have a bank card, that could be a payday card, any sort of or a Cash App card, any kind of card that you have your check sent to, that card should be linked to a statement. So either they're mailing you the statement or you can go online and see the statement. But either way, we need to get those statements together. So if you have, say, for instance, a Cash App card, they don't normally send statements, but you can go onto the app, contact the help desk, and request a statement, and they'll send it to you. I want to take this time also to mention, if you are having your bank statements mailed to your house, you might want to look into getting online statements instead. Because with the way the mail runs, someone else can get your mail by accident and then all of your financial information is exposed. So that's just a suggestion, neighbor. Like I said, you handle that the way you want to handle it. But I thought I'd just give you what I work upon when I'm handling my finances. So the next thing you want to do is get your check stubs. Your check stubs, more than likely, is online. That's the way they're doing it these days. So you can just look on the screen for your check stubs and transfer the information onto the financial statement that way. You don't need to print all this stuff out. If you can see it, you just need to see it and be able to write it in or fill it in the blanks of this financial worksheet. Now that we have check stubs or we have the stubs from all of our bank accounts, all of our ways and sources of getting money. We're going to get moving. So far, so good. You still with me, neighbor? Okay. If you need to, you can stop this podcast and go get all of these things together and come back, follow it the rest of the way through, or you can just listen all the way through and then get all of this stuff together and listen to it again. Either way, don't skip this, neighbor. It is too important. Okay, so probably this is one of the most important steps to getting yourself together that you'll ever take. I promise you. Once you get through it, you'll be glad you did it. Okay, now get back to it. Now that you have all your financial statements, let's take another deep breath. All right, you're doing great, by the way. So proud of you for hanging in here. All right. Now, let's add up all the money that you receive for 1 month. We don't want to add up we don't want to add up all the money that you've earned so far in the year, unless you're listening to this in January. We just want to start with 1 month first. It's okay. So now that we have all of that together, you need to write down how much you received after taxes. Okay, after they've taken out all of the FICA and Medicaid and all of that stuff, what is the actual number that you bring home on your check? You also want to check with your tax preparer to make sure. You also want to check with your tax preparer to talk about the pros and cons of having taxes taken out of your unemployment check or any other governmental aid that you may receive. Now, jot down that monthly income. Don't forget any other irregular or variable earnings, like, you know, from your side hustle, baking and braiding. You know how we do. After you have a solid number, it's time to analyze your expenses. Don't let me scare you with that. Analyze, neighbor. Don't let me scare you with that. We're just going to get the bank statement out and we're going to look at where we spent what we spent. I got you covered. Don't worry. Okay, now I wouldn't tell you to do anything without explaining what we're talking about. So what we're going to do now is we're going to create categories. If you're looking at the financial worksheet, you'll see that I have all the expenses broken out in categories and group. You see that, neighbor? Okay, so at the top left, you see income. Top right, you see expenses. And underneath that, you see different little sections with the top line in different colors. So the green, I think, is for the fixed income. And under that, you'll see stuff like your rent / mortgage, utilities, and important things like groceries. So these are the things that you have to purchase every month without fail. You have to pay these. And so they go in your fixed income. Not a lot of cost cutting can be done in this section of the finances or your expenses. So we want to get all of those things put together. Then we have a blue section, which I think is for the personal things. So that's your clothing, beauty shop trips, things like that. And then we have the purple section, which is miscellaneous. That's just little knickknacks. Also, I would say use this section for bank fees and stuff like that. And then you have the gray section, which is your legal things. Now, notice I have 3 different spaces on here for insurance, just in case you have life insurance, car insurance, and medical insurance. You need to list those costs out separately. Don't worry, neighbor. Hang in here. I'm gonna tell you why we're doing all this. Okay. Now, add each section up until it's one number at the bottom next to subtotal. So once you've added up each section at the bottom of each, at the bottom of each section, you should have one number. So under the green section, each green box, you should have a number. Under each purple box, you should have a number. Okay, and so now that you have that, you take all of the bottom numbers of the green section, add it up, and put it at the top where it says fixed under expenses, fixed, and it's a green box. You put that number there.
add up all the purple, put that number next to the purple, all of the blue, all of the gray, add it all up, put it at the top, so that we can get one huge number that says your expenses. Now, hopefully it's not that big of a number, but if it is, don't worry. We are all starting out here. We got to get started somewhere. So I know what you're thinking. Well, if we was just going to add them all up, why did we go through the trouble of breaking them out into these little sections? Okay, well, I told you, neighbor, what we're doing is we are figuring out a way that we can minimize our expense so that we can either increase our savings or start a savings. And like I said, with the fixed expense, there's not much you can cut there. You know, we would love to go and tell our landlord, hey, I want to pay less rent. But let's face it, it's just not going to happen. But in the personal section, yeah, maybe instead of getting our nails done every 2 weeks, we can get our nails done once a month. Oh, wait a minute. I heard a bunch of pearl clutching right there. Are y'all okay? Okay. Yeah, we're trying to save money, neighbor. We're trying to get ourselves together. So yeah, we might have to cut back on that trip to the nail shop. But don't worry, I got you covered. I got you covered. So now that we got all of our expenses together and we have all of our income together, here is the moment of truth. You might not need to. You may be able to eyeball it, but what we're going to do is we're going to take our income and we're going to subtract our expenses from our income. Whew. How does that feel, neighbor? What does it look like? We in bad shape? We all right? What are we doing? Well, I'm laughing because this is a great place to start. Even if we are overspending, we still know where we are. And knowledge is power. And now that we have knowledge of what our numbers are, we can move to step number two. And step number two is set realistic financial goals. All right. Now, before today, did you have any goals? Long term, short term, you know, any kind of goals at all? Well, we are going to talk to our local expert, Brandon Robinson.
Hey, what's going on, Brandon?
Good afternoon.
He is with WSB. Tell us a little bit about what they do there.
Yes, I would love to. Me, myself, I'm a proud campaigner here in the Houston area, proud wall system builder, part of our WSB community, to believe in, to, you know, helping each other. Don't forget, you know, where you come from, right? But it's just that, you know, financial education, like financial planning, is such an important part of really life planning. It is our mission to educate at least 30 million families by the year 2030. We currently have been able to educate over 2.2 million families in the last 7 years. Very confident we're going to reach our goal of 30 million by the year 2030.
That is awesome. So what can you tell us about savings or about setting long-term goals?
Okay, that's a great question. Everybody's situation is different and everybody has different goals. What we teach in our workshops is to follow the formula 10-20 rule. So in our Saving Your Future book, we talk about that, how it's recommended that for proper protection, right, the 10 is that you should have a minimum of 10 times your annual income to protect your income in case something happens to you, become sick and disabled or whatnot. The second part is the 20 is recommended to have at least 20 times your annual income for retirement so that you can live a comfortable retirement, kind of be able to maintain instead of like having like a culture shock of, hey, I was making, you know, we'll say $60,000 pre-retirement, but I got to cut it in half when I do retire, right? So we want to help families to be able to maintain that standard of living. Another thing that goes into that for retirement is you got to know what are your sources of income for retirement. Of course, we all know, hey, we pay taxes every year. We pay into Social Security. So that is a source. But Social Security is a supplemental to your retirement. It really comes down to retirement accounts and personal savings to be able to build that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't say rainy day fund, but you talked about another, the 10 was based on
proper protection. Yeah. Formula 10-20. Yeah. So for the financial foundation, like building a strong financial foundation that starts with proper protection, make sure that families have a good foundation of at least 10 times their income. Or if unfortunately, hey, you do live a short life and pass away too soon, that your family is able to maintain their standard of living for at least 10 years.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And I think we all should strive for that to be those long-term goals. So that would be a long-term goal. I was talking to my neighbors also about like a mid to short-term goal, and that's with paying off debt or saving for dream vacations, or I put building an emergency fund, you know. So would you say that proper protection would be kind of an emergency fund, or is that an emergency fund something completely different?
No, it's different. So the thing that I do when I sit down with families and help them to build their financial foundation and start like the financial planning process is to break it down into steps. And sometimes it's not always 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sometimes you have to do step 1 and then you do like 2A and then 2B. Or sometimes you have to do two things at the same time, right? The proper protection and the emergency fund you're referring to, you have to take care of those at the same time. So it's not like one is not more important than the other, or paying in your debt.
Yeah. You and I had spoke about the ways to decrease your debt. And we were talking about the snowball and then the avalanche effect. I have those right?
Yes, that's correct. So that's for families who do have debt. There's all different kinds, you know, car loans, student loans, credit cards, of course, right? Personal loans. The simplest way is to do the debt roll up, or what we call the snowball effect. Is to list your debts in order from largest to smallest amount. And then you focus on taking care of the smallest amount first, just so you have small wins add up, and you have like quicker gratification. It encourages you to continue to keep going along with the debt rollup. Yeah. And even extra $100 a month towards your debt over time can make such a big impact.
Right. That was one of the things that I looked at when I was working on my credit and getting all that stuff into place. Because like you say, we don't get enough education in the communities about managing our finances. And so it then becomes debt, right? Because if you manage your finance, the debt that you have would be good debt, right? Because there's a such thing, instead of the astounding debt that we wind up with because we don't know how to manage our finances. Right out of college, that's when it hit me. I wanted the credit score and I wanted everything to go well, you know, to purchase my home and things of that nature. But I think if they would sign up with you or at least reach out to see about starting these workshops, it would be a good place to start in learning how to manage the debt. I had to YouTube it and I had to YouTube it and trial and error it. And the one thing I do know is that oftentimes in our communities, we are very casual with debt and credit. We're very casual with it. Like, oh, the credit card companies call or the debt collectors call. And, you know, we make jokes about it like, that's a bill collector and, you know, hang up and move on. But it's really important that we get that straight, because the more credit and the better our credit is, the better our quality of life is. And that's not just some mumbo jumbo. That really is a fact. Well, I definitely enjoyed chatting with you today, Brandon. I look forward to participating in some workshops. But thank you so much for coming on the show today. And hopefully my neighbors will reach out to you and get started.
Okay, neighbors, I hope you found that information from Brandon Robinson helpful. Okay, and you start in the basis of creating a realistic goal. Because remember, we are making sure that our budgeting journey follows all of the other goal standards that we have, which is specific, measurable, achievable, and relevant, and time-based. Which is what? Yes, a SMART goal. Time to move on to step number 3. Neighbors, step number 3 is going to separate the reals from the fakes, okay? Step number 3 is tracking your spending. I know we got all of our expenses listed on our financial statement, but did you include monies that was taken out at the cash machine? Did you include money that was spent on fast food, money that was spent on bake fees, That's what we're talking about. Now that you have this high level view of your expenses, we are going to get real with where our money is going. For, I'll just say a month, for a month or two, if you're really good, just track every single penny that's spent. It might be easy for some people, you know, that aren't shoppers. Some of my neighbors aren't shoppers. You know, we go to that grocery store once a week or twice a month, and that's it on that. And we pay those bills at the first of the month, and that's that on that. And yeah, very little spending goes on outside of that. But I have my other neighbors that stop by the store every day on the way home. And if that's the case, there's nothing wrong with it. Just make sure that you are keeping track of what you're spending. Neighbors, be honest with yourself, because you know this is a no judgment zone. I don't care anything about where you start, as long as when you get where you're going, it's where you want it to be. Okay? I think that's a good place to stop. Because next week, we're going to talk about the rest of the steps after you've had an opportunity to see what this spending tracking looks like. So you guys got a whole week to track your spending and come back as we go to step four, which is creating the budget. So this is what I'm telling you, neighbor. You're thinking, oh, we're going to hop in, we're going to make this budget right now. And we could. We could get on here and we could say, okay, I only want to spend $30 a week outside of, you know, bills. But how realistic is it? We want to make sure that we are setting realistic goals. And the only way to do that is for us to watch where our money is going. Sometimes we forget what we've paid, especially if we have auto pay. So let me just caution you on that. While you're tracking your spending, make sure that you have entered all information that may be on auto pay. And that should be listed in your bank statement as payment. So, or whatever card that you have those payments being directly drafted from. So all credit cards are expenses. I don't know if we talked about that earlier. I certainly hope we understand that if we have a credit card and we're making payments on that, that is an expense and it has to go on our financial statements. It should be included in your bank statement. So you should have tracked it from there. Okay, so we'll leave it right there. Thank you for joining me this week, and thank you for hanging in there with me, neighbor. I know this was a rough topic, but we'll be back next week to finish it up. You know the neighborhood is better because you're in it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Your Nosy Neighbor. If you love the show, leave some comments and answer the questions. There should be some questions listed in the description. You know I love you more.